John 13 and verse number 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Let me stop and say there are times when you can't stand. You'll just have to lean. But I'm glad tonight we got a leaning place that's trustworthy in this world in which we live. And I was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Well, I'm glad that's a good place to get tonight, near the heart of the Savior. And I was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of His disciples. And I want you to notice what the Bible says about that one disciple. I want you to say these three words out loud with me tonight. Whom Jesus loved. Man, what a statement. What a compliment. What a title. And from that day forward, John the Beloved was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. My grandmother told me when I was a boy, son, you'll be known by the company that you keep. And I believe tonight if we'll spend some time leaning on the bosom of Jesus, in the secret place communing with our Lord and our Savior, we'll be known by the company that we keep. John was not known for his great talent, wonderful personality, or our many abilities, but he was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And someone said, well, what does that really mean? Well, before we see what that means, let me tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean that he loved John and did not love the others. Aren't you glad that John 3:16 is still in the Bible? For God so loved the world. I'm glad tonight the heart of God is big enough to love every man and every woman and every boy and every girl. Let me say this tonight. If you're in this service and you reject the Savior and die with that God and go to a devil's hell, you'll have to trample the love of God under your foot. I'm glad it's deeper than the ocean. It's taller than the mountain. It's higher than the highest star. Thank God for His love. His amazing love. His wonderful love. Oh, love of God, how rich and how pure. It reaches further down than we could reach up. I'm glad the love of God is real tonight. And this does not mean that He loved John and did not love the others. The Bible said, having loved all of His disciples, He loved them all until the end. He loved them all. Let me say second tonight, it does not mean that He loved John more than He loved the others. My Bible tells me that in Him there is no variableness. There is no shadow of turning. I'm telling you, He not only loved them all, but He loved them all the same. There are no degrees in the love of God. It's not that He loves this one a little, and this one a little more, and that one a little more. May I tell you tonight, friend, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. He loved them all the same. Let me say this to you tonight. Whether you've been saved 5 years, 50 years, 5 seconds, He loves us all the same. I said this in another meeting a while back and got in trouble. But I believe I'll be all right around Bible believers. In fact, He don't love you any more now than He did before you ever got saved by the good grace of God. In fact, He don't love you any more right now than He did before you was even a pleasant thought in the mind of your parents. I'm telling you, He loves you as much right now as He ever has. And He'll love you just as much tomorrow as He does today. He loves us all, and He loves us all the same. But let me say this. Even though He loves everybody, everybody don't love Him. And even though He loves everybody the same, everybody don't love Him the same. if there's any variableness, if there's any categories, if there's any degrees, it's on our part and not His. You say, preacher, do you really think there are people in this world who literally do not love God? Absolutely. I believe there's people in this world that despise God. The very mention of God makes them mad. Somebody's trying to figure out what's going on in this world today. I want to tell you what's going on in this world today. The same thing's been going on in this world since the Garden of Eden. The world hates God. They despise God. They try to discredit His Word. They try to dethrone His Son. They try to slander His name. Everybody doesn't love God. But I'm glad I'm numbered among them tonight. That the choice has been made. The vote has been counted. The die has been cast. I love Him. How about you tonight? Everybody doesn't love God. Remember I said He loves everybody? But I want to say everybody don't love Him. And remember I said that He loves everybody the same, but everybody don't love Him the same. You say, preacher, you mean do you really think there are people that love God more than others? Absolutely. It's hard for me to believe it. You're going to have to bring your lunch. Because it's going to take you a long time to convince me that somebody that goes to church on Easter and Mother's Day, and don't forget homecoming, and that's it. You'll have a hard time convincing me that that Sunday morning, Mother's Day, Easter Sunday, homecoming Baptist loves the Lord as much as somebody that's in church every time the door is open. You say, well, church membership don't tell everything. No, but it tells a whole lot. Amen. You say, well, I just tell you right now, I don't believe that some people can love God more than others. It's hard for me to believe people that don't study His Word, people that don't walk in His way, people that don't work in His vineyard, really love Him as much as others. I want to tell you, I don't want to be like some Christian people, or should I say, some church people. You say, how is that? Well, I call them fickle, fair weather. More convenient. You see, that word disciple means a learner or a follower of Jesus. And time out. By the way, there is a gospel call to do both. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And there is a call to be a follower and a learner. And that's what that word disciple means, a follower or a learner. And when Jesus was on this earth, He had thousands of learners and thousands of followers. Especially when He was walking on water, turning water into wine, cleansing lepers, healing sick people, doing the phenomenon, raising dead people. He had plenty, I mean thousands and thousands. But one day Jesus said to that crowd, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross. You've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And the Bible said, and from that time, many of His disciples went back and followed no more. They were fickle. They were fair weather. They were more convenient. I don't want to be fickle. I don't want to be fair weather. I don't want to be more convenient. I want to be there every day, every step of the way. I want to serve it even when it hurts. I was raised in a preacher's family. And I'm not bitter about it at all. My daddy's lost brothers and lost friends said, J.B., if you make that boy go to church, when he gets to be an adult, he'll never go. I go every day. I've been known to go several times a day. I preached for Brother Sammy Allen a while back, and we went every day, all day, and half a night, praise God. I was raised in a preacher's home. My wife was raised in a preacher's home. And we're not bitter about it. We're thankful for the heritage that we have. And me and my wife were discussing this the other night. I believe the difference between the way we were raised and a lot of these other so-called disciples were raised. You see, a lot of people revolve the church and the Bible and the things of God around their life. In other words, if they can work it in, if they're not too busy doing something else, as long as they can fit it in their busy schedule, then son, they're going to be a disciple. But we wasn't raised that way. We didn't revolve the church and the Bible and the things of God around our life. We revolved our life around the church and the Bible and the things of God. I don't want to be fickle. I don't want to be fair weather. I want to go the second mile. I want to go deeper. I want to go farther. I want to go beyond Sunday morning. I want to go beyond religious activity. I want to scooch up close to the Master like John and be the disciple whom Jesus loved. You say, preacher, what does that mean? If that does not mean that Jesus loved him and didn't love the others, and if it doesn't mean that he loved him more than the others, what does it mean? I'll tell you exactly what it means. It means that John went deeper. John went further. Let me use this term. He cultivated a more intimate, close relationship to the Master. While others were just satisfied being on the same planet. While others were just satisfied being in the same state. While others were just satisfied being in the same city. While others were satisfied just being in the same building. And while others were satisfied just being in the same room. And while others were satisfied just sitting at the same table. That wasn't good enough for John. He crawled up in his lap. Laid his head on his bosom. Listen, oh Lord of God, I feel like preaching right there. Listen to the heartbeat of God. Felt the hot breath of heaven. Son, I'm telling you, woo, there's a deeper depth. There's a higher height. There's a closer walk. New Testament language is the infield with the Holy Ghost. John was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved because he wanted more than a religion. He cultivated a relationship. Man, I got to hurry or we'll be here all night. Thank you, brother. Glory to God. I want you to look in the book of John tonight about three or four places where that phrase is mentioned, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And every time you see that phrase, you'll see a characteristic of that person who's going further and going deeper. Number one, look at our text tonight. Now, that was leaning on Jesus' bosom. How many? One. The thought comes to my mind, how come all of them wasn't there? I don't believe the Lord had a sign up. John's welcome, and the rest of you backsliders, stay away. They all could have got there. But John made it his aim. You ready? Number one, the disciple whom Jesus loved, they sit where the others don't sit. Do you know where you are in the upper room? You're at that Lord's Supper table. Jesus is about to institute communion. He's going to Calvary in a little while to bleed and die for the sins of the world. This is the last night they're going to spend with Him on this earth before He goes to Calvary. And Brother Bowman, they must have been Baptist, because they was fussing about who was number one. They were fussing about who was the big cheese in the group. Sounds like a preacher's fellowship to me. I want to be first. I want to be first. Asking, can I be first? son, I'm telling you, the contention, the jealousy, the envy in that upper room is so thick, you can cut it with a knife. Sounds like some camp meetings I've been to. If their favorite preacher don't preach, they can't shout. If the big group don't sing, they don't get nothing. I don't care who sings or who preaches. If God passes by, I'm going to say, whoopee! Because if you see me and Miss Jesus, I've done you an injustice. You walk out of this tabernacle tonight talking about me. I did you an injustice. Oh, my God, if you walk out of this tabernacle tonight saying, oh, I saw him tonight. I sat in his lap tonight. Whoa! He come by and squeezed my heart tonight. I'm telling you, brother, I want to see it where the others don't see it. In that upper room at that table, you got one fellow here, and he's running his mouth 90 miles an hour. All out for you. You can count on me. And he's the first one to jump ship when the rooster crows. On the other side of the table, there's a fellow sitting there in the back of his mind counting his money that he's going to get by betraying the master. On the other end is position seekers and fault finders. But son, right smack dab in the middle of that crowd, there's one that's done crawled up in his lap. Got his head laid on his bosom. And every time Jesus breathes the hot breath of heaven, amen, listen to the heartbeat of God. Woo! He ain't worried about being first. He's not worried about being number one. He's not plotting his betrayal. He's not plotting his denial. He's not even bragging on his spirituality. He's just sitting in his lap, laid on his bosom. He's as close as you can get. I'm telling you tonight, you can see it where the others don't see it. You say, preacher, is that a pride thing? Nope, it's a priority thing. I celebrated 20 years Sunday at our church. I couldn't believe it. They've been putting up with me for 20 years. That's the only church that would have me, and I'm the only preacher that would have them. We're just stuck. And I don't mean to be ugly when I say this. I love all of the members. And I'm telling you, if some of them members have ever enjoyed one of my messages, glory to God, I didn't know nothing about it. If they've ever been moved, I didn't know nothing about it. If they ever bowed at an altar, it must have been when I was on vacation because I ain't seen it. You say, well, all that going to the altar and all that head nodding and all that crying and stuff, that don't mean nothing to me. No, and this don't either. I like what Brother Sammy Allen said the other day. He said, everybody don't jump. Everybody don't run. Everybody don't scream. He said, but I believe you can at least grin every now and then. I've never understood this. I got the same text, same message, and same service, same building. And here sits a fella and just, glory to God. Amen. Yeah, ain't that good? And another guy on this side of, he ain't even woke up yet. And I'm wondering, how can the same sermon bless the fire out of one and bore the other one to death? Now, I will accept some of the blame, but not all of it. It might just be one's a sitting where the other ain't never sat. Oh, can I say this? Can I help myself? Can I help myself? The greatest day in your life as a fundamentalist, whatever that is, The greatest day in your life as a fundamental Baptist is when it dawns on you, you can get in the glory. I want to tell you the greatest day in your life is when you realize you can go beyond religious activity. You can go through the motions of just showing up at church. Thank God there's a deeper depth. There's a higher height. There's a closer walk. While others warm themselves by the fires of denial, I want to sit in His lap, lean on His bosom, and hear the heartbeat of God. Woo! The men that touched my life for God were men that sat where the others ain't sat. They're all disciples. They're all called disciples. And they all are sincere, or they'd have never left all to follow Jesus. Some of them was just a little bit more serious than others. I believe John could look at Peter and say, run your mouth, boy, just run your mouth. James and John keep on arguing about who number one. Judas, count your stinking little money. He means more to me than that. I ain't got time to fuss with none of you. I'm crawling up in His lap. Woo! Woo! I'm going to crawl up in His lap. I'm going to lay on His bosom. I want to hear the heartbeat of heaven. Oh God, it's my desire. Oh, not to preach and live and parent in the energy of the flesh, but be filled and optionized and anointed by the Holy Ghost of God. Youngers, let's sit in His lap. Woo! They sit where the others don't sit. And guess what? You can sit there if you want to. I was reading this the other day. It said one of them little fashion churches, one of them little old grandmas cut her a spell. Woo! Little old granddaughter looked up in amazement. On the way home, the little granddaughter said to the mama, Granny, she said, I'd give anything in this world to have the touch of God on my life like that. And grandma said to the little granddaughter, that's exactly what it'll take. Anything in this world. Oh, I got some more points, but I want to preach right here a while. It is my desire as a pastor, and I believe it's your desire, and your desire as a pastor, to take our people beyond religion and beyond regulation and beyond ritual and beyond tradition and beyond the norm. Point them to God. Point them to reality. Get in that secret place where the sovereign God of heaven, I'm telling you tonight, we can go further. We can climb higher. We can go deeper. I'm glad tonight the disciple whom Jesus loved, they see it where the others don't see it. And thank God you can sit there if you want to. Man, I got to hurry. Come to John chapter number 19 real quickly. John chapter 19, verse number 26. Now, when you come to John 19, where, you know where you are now? You're at the cross. You're at Calvary. Well, the Holy Ghost showed me this the other day. Have you ever noticed the closer Jesus got to Calvary, the fewer disciples that He had? It's amazing what a crown of thorns and three rusty nails and a whipping post do to thin out the crowd. One of my buddies called me a while back. He said, Lord God, said we're having such a time. Said, man, we got so many people coming. We're going to have to go to three services. I said, I can tell you how to free up a seat or two. I said, I can tell you how to free up several benches. Ooh! As I said a while ago, when He's feeding that crowd, when He's doing the phenomena, honey, they're there by the thousand. But buddy, that whip pop and that hammer ring and that cross at the ground with a mighty thud, and they's all gone. They's all gone. They all forsook Him and left. I want to know where the blind man is. I want to know where the leper is. I want to know where Lazarus that got raised from the dead. But by the time he got to Calvary, there wasn't nobody left but his little mama and a few weeping women. And one disciple. Look at, I got wrote down on my outline. Holler amen right here. Amen right here. Notice John 19, verse number 26. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple, read it out loud with me, standing by whom He loved. Number one, they sit where the others don't sit. Number two, they stand when the others don't stand. Isn't it amazing tonight that the very one, oh Lord, help me preach this tonight. Isn't it amazing tonight that the very one that stood by His cross was the very one that sat in His lap? And can I say it like a country boy? If their mothers would have sat in His lap, they wouldn't have had no problem standing by His cross. Can I run a little rabbit? That crowd that shows up from homecoming, Mother's Day, and Easter, and don't forget Christmas when they pass out the oranges. Hello? Buddy, when hell's after this church, when hell's after that preacher, don't count on them. They won't be here unless it's Easter, Mother's Day, homecoming, or orange and apple time. And you know why, brother? They have problems standing. They ain't been sitting. Son, that crowd. Woo! That crowd that'll go beyond religion and go beyond ritual and go beyond religious activity, that crawls up in His lap and lays on His bosom and hears His heartbeat. It'll take more than a cross and three nails to run that crowd off. Woo! Boy, I've had people come to our church, go down to the altar, and they'd get up and they'd cry. And I mean, I'm trying to be dignified, but tears and nasal drainage running everywhere. I want to thank God. I want to say, woo! I want to thank God. I've been looking for this chair. Woo! And next Sunday. And the Sunday after that. They ain't been back yet. Honey, they got such a dose it lasted for years now. I've had them come up on Sunday morning. Oh, God, I love You. And what a privilege it is for my children to sit under Your ministry. And by next Sunday, them and their kids and their Aunt Susie hated me and everybody else at. You know, ain't it amazing? In a church, I've been pastoring 20 years. I've learned a little something, I think, by accident. Isn't it amazing when things are going good, they're going real good. And when they're going real good, they're going real good and everybody's having a real good time. But you let that whip pop. You let that hammer ring. You let Judas rear up his ugly head. And son, they'll be falling away from you and your church like fleas on a dog that's been dipped. You know what just dawned on me? It is so good to preach in the country and use that phrase and somebody know what I'm talking about. I used that in Michigan the other day and they went. sun as long as the money's are coming in. And everybody's loving the preacher. And we're all having just a little cozy time. Some there. But you let that hammering and that cross foot and that wheel pop, they'll start leaving. I'm glad they all ain't like, whoo! Some there'll be some. They'll be standing right there. You know why they're standing right? They've been sitting right. Oh, give me your mind. Give me your mind a minute. Here we are at Calvary. The Son of God stretched back there on that cross. His eyes are swollen. Blood and sweat and tears is running down his face. And he bobbed his head. And he looks down there. And there's a little old mama weeping. And he looks around. And thank God standing beside a mom. Right there at the foot of Calvary. That same one, glory to God, that had been leaning on his bosom. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to see it where the others don't see it. And I want to stand when the others don't stand. While the rest of that crowd was running and hiding, old John stood up there in front of God and the world and Pilate and everybody. That's him. I love that man in the middle. He's dying for me. I believe John looked up and said, I love you, Jesus. And I believe Jesus looked down and said, I love you too. Glory to God. I'm telling you tonight, there come a day in your life when God will separate the men from the boys and the wheat from the chaff. And I'm here to tell you, if you've been sitting in His lap, you won't have any problem standing by His cross. Man, I got to hurry. Look in the next verse. Look at verse number 27. Then saith He to the disciple, Behold thy mother, and from that hour, that disciple, which one? The one whom Jesus loved. That disciple took her into his own home. You say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? How would you like to have been John that day, standing beside of Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus? As she watches her darling baby boy bleed and die for people that hate his guts. And then your hallelujah. And then to hear, and to hear the dying words of the Savior, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. And John reaches around and gets Mary and takes her back to the house. Lord of God, I'm going to run here in a minute. And she gets to live. Well, let me say it like this. Or John has the privilege of Mary, the mother of Jesus, living in his home till the day she went to glory. You say, what's so good about that? What's so good about that? My soul, can you imagine supper time at John's house? Aunt Mary, why don't you say the blessing? Mary, before you say the blessing, tell us about it. What was it like that night when that angel woke you up in the middle of the night and said, gonna happen. Don't be afraid. It's of the Holy Ghost. What did it feel like when the power of the Most High overshadowed you? What was it like that night, Mary, in that manger when that baby was born and that little whimper was the same voice that thundered from the burning bush, I am that I am. It's gonna get dangerous here in a minute. Mary, what was it like when them little baby fingers reached up and touched your cheek? The same fingers that had thumped out stars and hung moons and stretched out Milky Ways and scooped out oceans and heaped up mountains and traced down rivers and... What was it like when he walked up to that wine, walked up to that water and turned it into wine? What was it like when he walked up and just touched blind folk and they started seeing? Mary, what was it like when he got ready to touch that leper? And them Pharisees said, don't do that. What the leper's got will get on you. But what Jesus had got on him, and what was on him left. Glory to you. Can I say that again? Don't touch that leper, Jesus. What he's got will get on you. But what Jesus had got on him, and what was on him, it left. Mary, what was it like when they come and told you he's over yonder, arrested, and they've just beat him beyond recognition over there at Pilate's hall, and he's coming down Main Street, Jerusalem? What was it like, Mary, when you walked through that crowd and saw him carrying that cross on his back? Mary, what was it like when you heard that hammer ringing? Oh, what was it like, Mary, when you heard that cross hit that hole in the ground with a thud? What was it like, Mary, when they spit on him? What was it like, Mary, when the sun refused to shine? What was it like, Mary, when he cried, it's finished? Mary, what was it like when they came back on Sunday morning and said, your boy ain't dead no more. He's alive. He's alive. My God, can you imagine? Can you imagine standing beside her deathbed when she got ready to die? I don't usually get tore up, but I'm about to get tore up right here. Woo! Can you imagine walking in that room where she lays? How those death gurgles in her throat. That death sweats on her brow. Her lungs are exercising that last fleeting breath. And about that time, she looks up and says, hello, son. Thank you for coming to get Mom. Woo! And I say, woo! Lord, have mercy. I don't know what that's like, but I do know what this is like. I was a hell-bound sinner, and he came to where I was. Woo! And love me and save me. I'm telling you, I want to be that kind of disciple. You say, what did he do? He sat where the others didn't sit. He stood where the others didn't stand. But right there in our text, he served when the others didn't serve. By the way, she didn't go home with James. She didn't go home with Thomas. She didn't go home with Judas. Or Simon Peter, listen to this tonight. She didn't go home with one of her other earthly sons and daughters born to her and Joseph after the virgin birth of Jesus. You know who got to take care of Jesus' mama? You see, them that's been sitting in his lap, standing by his cross, they get to serve in his kingdom. I don't know why in the world God don't use me. Maybe you ain't sitting in the right spot. Well, I tell you right now, bless God, I can sing just as good as Carl Partain. And I know I can preach better than that old wild man from Jonesboro. And I can teach Sunday school as good as anybody else can in Bowden, Georgia. But don't God just bless me? Maybe you ain't snuggling up in his lap. Maybe you ain't heard no heartbeat. Felt no hot breath. Woo! Guess who gets to serve? I said, guess who gets to serve? Them that's been sitting in his lap, standing by his cross, they get to serve. Oh, I want to be careful here. I don't want to come across wrong. I really don't right here. Can I preach to these young fellas here just a minute? Can I preach to these young? Please let me do it just a minute. I'm just 42 years old, so I'm not old and feeble yet. But if I keep preaching like this, I will be there soon. A young preacher, listen to me, fellas. God has not forgotten you. God has not looked over you. God has not passed you by. You got to pay your dues. So when God does use you, you won't be all cocky about it. You'll know it's Him. Young preachers are so easily impressed. I was 17 years old when I preached my first sermon, and man, every preacher that come to town, I would watch him, and I thought, well, that's what made him great. Brother Sammy Allen came to town shaking like that, and when I tried that, all I got was arthritis and a headache. Mays Jackson come to town taking his tag on, whoo, whoo, and all I done doing that was mesmerize. Roger Williams came through town and he preached barefooted. I said, that's it. So the next time I preached, I pulled my shoes off. I had a hole in my sock and my toe stuck out the whole time I preached. And then Billy Kelly came to town with his suspenders. And boy, Brother Billy would do this, he'd get happy. He'd pull out a suspender with his thumb and pick it like a bass guitar and go, whoo! So I went down to Wally World and got me a 50-cent pair of suspenders. Pulled mine out, plucked on it one time, the stupid thing come loose, hit me in my eye, and like to put my eye out. Keep on sitting, boys. The best is yet to come. When I first started preaching, I didn't understand, bless God, why I didn't have a church of 200. Lord God, I look back, what in the world would I have done with it if I'd have had it? I don't even know what to do with the one I got now. I used to go to a camp meeting, sit in the back, going, I got the message, man. They need to call on me, son. And now I go and go, oh, God, don't, I ain't got nothing to say. Don't call on me. Oh, you say, preacher, how can I get God to use me? Sit in His lap. Crawl up in His lap. Lay on His bosom. Stand by His cross. He'll let you serve when the others don't serve. I got to close. Come to John 21 and I'm done. I promise. I think. Woo! Now, John 21. You know where you are now? You're fishing. And guess how their fishing trip turned out? Like a lot of mine. Here's how mine goes. Boy, you should have been here yesterday. Or, right after you left, brother, we really caught them things. Story of my life. And they knew how to fish, too. These were better than Bassmasters. These were better than West Georgia rednecks. These boys knew how to fish. But they didn't catch a thing. Same thing you and me gonna catch out of the will of God. Nothing but a cold. They caught, they had about the same results as that fella did over there in the book of Kings when he was trying to chop that tree down and the axe head fell off. He could have beat that tree with an axe handle, but all he got was bruises and noise. At least by God, he stopped long enough and got his axe head back. Yeah, man. And they toiled all night and caught nothing. But what I love about this text, it said, and when the morning was come. It may have got dark, but thank God the sun came up in the morning. And the Bible said Jesus stood on the shore. And you know what He said? You bunch of filthy dog head backsliders. No, only untamed preachers talk like that. Amen, boy. Let her rip. Hallelujah. You know what He said? Children, they wasn't acting like, I don't want to bust your bubble, but they went out there on that boat passing out tracts. Or having a prayer meeting. He's out there, man, as a devil at one another. Jesus said, oh, glory to God, aren't you glad it's your darkest hour when you didn't act like a child? He called you one anyway. Children, have you any meat? I hear them say, no! One of them probably said, yeah, and it's John's fault. No! Jesus had cast your net on the right side. And son, they hauled them in. And nobody on that boat knew who it was. Well, let me ask you this. Who else would it have been? Who else could it have been? But one boy on that boat, he knew. One disciple on that boat knew. John 21, verse number 7, therefore that disciple, said out loud with me, whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. You see, they sit where the others don't sit. They stand where the others don't stand. They serve where the others don't serve. But they see what the others don't see. When the rest of that crowd's all wall-eyed. What's going on in our church? What's going on in our ministry? That one that's been snuggled up real close to him, it's the Lord, man. It's the Lord. John, are you sure? Yeah. If you've been where I've been, you'd be sure too. John said, boys, I've heard him whisper. I've smelt his breath. I've heard his heartbeat. I've looked into his face. Surely if I know who he is a whisper, I can sure tell who it is when he goes to hollering. Oh, let me say this. I love all my members. I do. I really do. I love all my members. Well, I got some in my church. I love them. But they wouldn't know God nor the Holy Spirit if they met into the middle of 166 going in the same direction. They don't know the difference between a dead service or a lie. They're just bad. But son, I got some. If he's out in the parking lot just thinking about coming in. Here, preacher. My people know me. They know what I look like when I'm struggling, trying to come up with it. Sometimes it's hard. Right now it's pretty easy. Get where God is, it ain't too hard, is it? Boy, sometimes you know how you go to struggling. The other night I had Zacchaeus in the hog pen. It was so bad. I never did get Daniel out of lines. Then I believe he had the mumps down there or something. I don't know what. I just messed up. One by one, drop that head. God bless him, Lord. About that time, God looked beyond my ignorance and come on me with a dose of Holy Ghost power. He'll lift that head up. No. They know when to say amen, and they know when to go to the altar and weep for sinners. They know when to stand and shout from the top of their lung, hallelujah! And they know what it is to beg God for a soul in the balance. Because they see what the others don't see. Because they've been sitting where the others ain't sitting. I'm done. I'm going to preach all the way to my seat. But let me just say this. You say, oh, John didn't see nothing. He didn't. Have you ever read the last book of the Bible? Anybody here ever read the last book of the Bible? It don't say the revelation of Jesus Christ through His servant Peter. It don't say the revelation of Jesus Christ through His servant Matthew. But it says the revelation of Jesus Christ through His servant John. You say, oh, he didn't see nothing. He didn't. Who saw the church in its finest hour? Who saw the devil bound in hell? I like the preacher's outline. He said a while ago he's not only a banished devil, but he's going to be a barbecue devil. I said, I like that. Guess who got to see the church dressed in white, shouting down the streets of the New Jerusalem? John! He got to see it. You know why? He'd been sitting and standing and serving, and God let him see. You say, God gonna let me see something? You crawl up in his lap, ain't no telling what he'll let you see. Stand by his cross. serve in His kingdom. Be that disciple whom Jesus loved.